Welcome to the January 6th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today is led by our settled minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and the title of her sermon is It's Possible. The podcast begins with a reading by Worship Associate Jim Kern.
Our reading this morning comes from John O'Donohue, poem titled For a New Beginning. In out-of-the-way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you are ready to emerge. For a long time it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness grow inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises of that sameness whispered. Heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent. Wondered, would you always live like this? Then the delight when your courage kindled and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before you. Though your destination is not clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you.
It's possible. What an optimistic thought that something is possible. It implies hope, trust, and confidence in the future. When I happened upon this story for A Time for All Ages, I was struck by the optimism of Penguin, who goes to flight school, confident that he will learn to fly because he has the soul of an eagle. It's possible. Do you remember having that kind of optimism and confidence? Yeah? I have a very distinct memory of my sisters and me trying to teach ourselves how to fly. We would stand on the step above the back patio and we'd jump. And then the next time we'd try to jump farther and farther. And we were confident that eventually we would take off. We were not deterred by the reality that we didn't know anyone who could fly. It didn't even occur to us. When we're young, before we've experienced the harsh reality that, like Penguin, we're just not built to fly, we believe in the impossible. We believe in fairy tales. The title for this sermon comes from my imperfect memory of a song from the musical Cinderella. Do you remember it? Impossible for a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden carriage. Impossible. Do you remember it? Leslie Ann Warren was Cinderella. No one else saw that? We watched it over and over again. We loved it. As her fairy godmother turns a pumpkin into a carriage and four white mice will never be four white horses. What fal-de-ral and fiddle-dee-dee of courses. Impossible. For some reason, I remembered it as it's possible. Impossible. Because in fact, in the fairy tale, it is possible. And Cinderella goes to the ball, and she meets the prince, and eventually she lives happily ever after. But as we get older, we stop believing in fairy tales, instead becoming more realistic and pragmatic. And if we've encountered disappointment and failure, we can begin to guard against disappointment and failure by playing it safe, by not taking risks, not being open to possibilities. Our theme this month is possibility. What does it mean to be a people of possibility? Now, Unitarian Universalists are nothing if not people of possibility. Our Unitarian ancestors believe in the possibility of people, rejecting the Calvinistic belief in the depravity of man for the belief in the perfectibility of humankind. Likewise, our Universalist ancestors believed in the possibility of universal salvation, that no loving God would ever condemn his creatures to hell. More recently, our humanist predecessors professed faith in the possibility that we can help create a more perfect world. As written in the Humanist Manifesto, with its very male-gendered language, man is at last becoming aware that he alone is responsible for the realization of the world of his dreams, that he and she and they have within themselves the power for its achievement. And part of our mission here at UUC to transform our community and the world through courageous love rests on our belief in the possibility that we can make a difference in the world. And yet, sometimes it's hard to see possibilities for ourselves. As we begin the new year, I'm wondering how many of us have given up on the practice of making New Year's resolutions. Yeah? To lose weight, to exercise more, to sleep more, to spend less, any number of improvements in our lives, because we've failed to keep them in the past. All right, how many of you have given up New Year's resolutions? Yeah, a few of us. Or you never started. And if we don't make resolutions, then we can't fail to keep them. Of course, the one sure way to fail is to not even try. So, how can we be more open to possibility? What can we do to get past the negative voices that keep us from dreaming big dreams for ourselves, that keep us from being more of who we want to be? The biggest impediment to being open to possibility seems to be fear. Fear of embarrassment. Fear of failure. Fear of not being enough, smart enough, tough enough, brave enough. Fear of losing what we already have. Fear of the unknown. That's a lot to be afraid of. A first step, then, is to simply acknowledge those fears and assess whether they're keeping us from possibilities unnecessarily. While we lose some of our youthful optimism with age and experience, we also gain perspective that helps us realize that some of our fears are unfounded or overblown. I think of all the young people who are struggling to decide where to go to college, what to major in, what career path to follow, thinking that their choices now will seal their fate for life. While each decision does have consequences, they don't necessarily close every door in the future. We can change our minds, says the person who went back to school 3 times after she graduated from college. But I don't want to minimize those fears. Sometimes being open to possibilities takes real courage. It requires a conscious decision to take risks, to leave behind the safety and security of the known. It takes realizing that the known may be holding us back or leaving us unfulfilled or empty. As John O'Donohue writes in his poem, a new beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness grow inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered. Heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent. Wondered, would you always live like this? The seduction of safety. The gray promises that sameness whispered. Those phrases are so evocative. It reminds me of the Lotus Eaters episode in the Odyssey when they eat the fruit and they forget about going home. And it's depressing, isn't it? Would you always live like this? Opening ourselves to possibilities sometimes requires recognizing that we have gotten stuck in old patterns and behaviors, and that it is worth our while to get unstuck. Sometimes our lives have gotten so gray and hopeless that we can't imagine any other life. But once we have, oh, the possibilities. O'Donohue goes on in a much more encouraging tone. Then the delight, when your courage kindled and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before you. Though your destination is not clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning. That is one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. That is the joy of possibilities. When we open ourselves up to them, we see the world anew. We regain our youthful sense of optimism. Like Penguin in the story, it can feel like soaring on the wind. And that initial step away from the security of the known leads to even more possibilities and the recognition that we can find ease in risk. We can live more fully into our life's desire. And just like Penguin, who needed a little help with the technical parts of getting his little round penguin body up into the air, in his case, getting pulled aloft by Flamingo, we sometimes need a little help if we are to open ourselves up to possibilities. When we are getting ready to take a leap of faith, to try something new and scary, it's good to know that someone's got our back. I've told some of you the story of my opening up to the possibility of becoming a minister, about how hearing my mother's regrets as she was dying convinced me that it was worth taking the risk of leaving the security of my teaching career and entering seminary. But having the support and encouragement of my partner really made it possible. Family and friends, people who love and believe in us, can make it easier to open ourselves to possibility, as can support groups in which people share their stories with one another as they make new beginnings and open themselves up to possibilities. Here at UUC, we gather on Sunday morning and all through the week in different groups to create compassionate community and inspire spiritual and ethical growth, supporting each other as we seek to open ourselves to possibilities, to becoming who we most want to be. Now, speaking of a little help with the technical parts, those who participate in the Soul Matters small groups may have already read and started the spiritual practice in this month's packet. Following the example of early Christians who would go to the desert and seek out monk-like hermits for guidance and wisdom, these wise desert mothers and fathers would offer people a word or a phrase to ponder for weeks, years, and even a lifetime. The idea behind this practice was that a simple word, when reflected upon with discipline, has the power to create possibilities in us and in the world. These words weren't instructions as much as invitation to open oneself in new ways. Have you heard of that practice before? Choosing a word for the year instead of a resolution? It's all over the internet. I first heard of it a few years ago, and I found it more satisfying than making resolutions. Has anyone chosen a word for 2019? A couple, yeah, my husband. I know his word. I'll remind you. He told me, "Have you chosen your word?" And I said, "No, but it's only the 6th of January. There are many days left." So I've been pondering what word I want to carry with me through the year. It can be any kind of word, any part of speech, a noun, a verb, an adverb, an adjective. I don't recommend prepositions and articles. A little harder. Of. You can just walk around all year thinking of. But I've heard of some intriguing words that I'm playing with. Words like balance, open-heartedness, gratitude, curiosity, pause. I really like that one. Pause. Focus. Zest. Wouldn't that be a nice one to carry around with you for the year? Beauty. Health, courage. Anyone want to share a word?
Possibility.
Possibility. Yeah.
Transformation.
Optimism.
Perseverance.
Compassion.
Amazement.
All right.
Joy.
All right, here is your assignment. Think of a word. Christine Walters, painter, who stewards the online Abbey of the Arts, describes the process of choosing a word this way. She writes, "Open yourself to receiving a word for the year ahead. In quiet moments, what are the desires you hear being whispered from your heart? Is there a word or phrase that shimmers forth, inviting you to dwell within it in the months ahead? Something you can grow into and don't fully understand." I think I might choose shimmers. If you haven't already, I invite you to open yourself up to receiving a word for the year ahead and see what possibilities it opens for you. Once you have a word in mind, find some way of keeping it in front of you. Write it on a sticky note and put it on the bathroom mirror or on your computer at work. Put it on your calendar. Make it part of your login password. I used to do that when I was a teacher. A word that I wanted to keep in my heart, that would be my login. My husband says you have to add more things than just one word for security, though. You could also create a piece of art that represents that word to you and put it someplace where you see it often. Then see what possibilities open up from living with that word in the days and months ahead. As we embark on this month of considering what it means to be a people of possibility, I invite you to consider your own relationship with possibility. Are you a person of possibility, or are you hearing a voice that keeps you from dreaming big dreams? I admit, I hear my mom's voice often is the one that says, no. Are you sure you can do that? Yeah, there's a story there. Are you playing it safe when you could be opening yourself up to something wonderful? Are you letting fear keep you from being open to possibility? Not just a fear that you are not enough. In one of my favorite quotations, Marianne Williamson writes, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous?" That's another good word. Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. It's possible. Let us make it so.